The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, overnight, a trove of new Epstein files, including emails that appear to involve the man formerly known as Prince Andrew, Andrew Mountbatten Windsor. Other releases suggest Donald Trump travelled on Epstein's private jet many more times than had been previously noted. And these files are being gone through at the moment in great detail by all the journalistic outlets. I'm joined by Scott Lucas, Professor and Political Analyst at the Clinton Institute in University College Dublin. Scott, good morning.
Very good morning to you, Pat.
So have you been looking at what has come out? Because the timing of everything seems contrived.
It not only contrived, Pat, it just adds to beyond the sense of confusion, the fact that this is the latest stage in a White House cover-up to try to get Donald Trump off the hook. Let me just give you one incident which highlighted this. You referred to those documents that came out a couple of days ago, but they actually initially had come out on Monday night. And they came out and they were only out for a few hours. And then they got withdrawn again. Now, fortunately, there were some news organizations that downloaded them when they were up for a few hours. And the reason why I say fortunately is beyond the revelations about Donald Trump, which we can discuss, there's something which may be even more important. And that is there are a series of documents that refer to memoranda after Epstein's death in 2019 about the possible charging of co-conspirators. There are four, in fact. There is an initial document, which a seven-page document, whether they're going to make the charges. There's an 85-page follow-up in December 2019, presumably with the outcome of those deliberations. Then there is a 13-page memorandum on whether they file corporate charges in connection with the case, and then a 26-page memorandum about a specific individual who might be charged. Now, the reason why that is significant is because we know from the Republican representative Thomas Massie, who has spoken to lawyers of the victims, that they believe the identities of 20 men who were involved in Epstein's crimes are in those documents. And of course, those have not yet been revealed. But one document that did finally emerge on the Tuesday was a document that says 10 co-conspirators, five in New York, three in Florida, two in other states. Some of them had been served with subpoenas about the possibility that they could be charged. Eventually, of course, they weren't. So think about that, Pat. That's where your accountability and your transparency lies in terms of why we need the rest of the documents out.
Now, if there is a cover-up, you know, presumably all of this stuff was there during the Biden presidency, and I know there may have been charges outstanding against Ghislaine Maxwell and so on, and therefore maybe the hands were tied. But it does seem remarkable that nothing came out during the Biden presidency.
Well, I mean, in the sense that, you know, no one leaked information that may have crossed the table, I think that's fair enough. But I think we also have to recall and actually hold up the possibility that perhaps the Justice Department and those involved in the legal system were abiding by the rules. You know, when you have ongoing investigations and the case against Ghislaine Maxwell, her final appeal was not wrapped up until the autumn of 2024, it prejudices the case to reveal anything that's involved in those files. And a lot of those files are directly related to the case that was built against her. And then also, the Justice Department is not supposed to act politically in terms of trying to score political points by leaking information. It's supposed to act in accordance with the law.
Now, we see that the current Justice Department is acting politically, indicating that this postcard from Epstein's prison, which arrived 3 days after he'd actually died, and referring to our president, who has a taste for nubile girls like ourselves, that this is, they're saying it's a hoax. In other words, they're not leaving an open mind for people to analyze the handwriting, etc. They're just saying it's a hoax. So that is a political statement.
Yeah, of course it is. I mean, the document which is claimed is Jeffrey Epstein to a fellow sex abuser who'd been convicted, Larry Nassar, who is the doctor for the U.S. National Gymnastics Team. And it does say, as you quoted, that, you know, like us, our president likes young, nubile girls, not women, girls. And it also refers to Trump's bragging about sexual accosting of women, which, of course, he did in the Access Hollywood tape. Now, what is interesting is that this is the only one of the approximately 30,000 documents that are out now that the Justice Department has attempted to give so-called context. And that is, of course, to try to refute it. Now, if they want to try to refute it, let's go back to the document itself. The reason why that document came out is that the FBI requested a handwriting analysis to validate that this was Epstein who wrote it. So let's see that handwriting analysis. Let's see the FBI's conclusion at the time on whether this was legitimate. And so far, of course, the Trump White House has not brought out that information.
So all of this stuff, because of Trump's own acknowledged behavior, I mean, the Access Hollywood tapes and, you know, what E. Jean Scott and all of those other incidents that we know he was involved in, the porn stars and all the rest, nothing suggests it's out of character. I mean, if it were suggested about Micheál Martin, for example, people would say ridiculous, you know, couldn't have happened, wouldn't happen. In the case of Trump, everything is possible.
You know, while emphasizing, Pat, and we have to, that Trump has not been linked to any of Epstein's crimes with any of the evidence we have seen so far, the fact remains that he was convicted of defamation with regard to the sexual assault on a woman, the writer E. Jean Carroll, in the 1990s, which a judge called, quote, tantamount to rape. It remains that more than 20 other women have attempted to bring cases, or at least accountability against Trump, for sexual harassment and, in some cases, sexual assault. And it remains the case that we have on record, apart from this document we just talked about, the Epstein postcard to Nassar, that people referring to Donald Trump's like of young, nubile women. In that case, not girls, but young, nubile women. You know, that's where we are with this. Now, so far, Trump has been able to escape accountability for all of this, apart from the conviction for defamation, which is he's on the hook for about $82 million for that. Will he be held accountable for this if we do get evidence that links him further to Epstein?
Now, mind you, the $82 million is only small change in view of what he has accumulated since he became president. But I suspect that even $500,000 would be painful for the Donald to part with. The other overnight sensation, I suppose, for the UK audience particularly, is the Prince Andrew, the man formerly known as Prince Andrew, Andrew Mountbatten Windsor, and his correspondence with Ghislaine Maxwell.
Yeah, there's a little bit of code which is used in this, but I think it's pretty clear when you get beneath that in 2001, 2002, Andrew was, you know, in intimate correspondence with Ghislaine Maxwell. They knew each other very, very well. And he was actually asking her, or she was offering, or both, to arrange the company of young women for him. Now, nothing specifically in the exchanges refers to the age of these young women. But Maxwell talks about the fact, you know, they have to be intelligent, they have to be attractive. She tells fixers, for example, in Peru, where Andrew went in 2002, make sure you can arrange this for him. And then in one, is it a joke? Is it real? Andrew in 2001 asked her, can you find some inappropriate company for me when I'm in LA? And she replies back, oh, sorry, can only find appropriate company for you on this occasion.
Yeah, it's funny, the Peru thing, she says, some sightseeing, some two-legged sightseeing, brackets read intelligent, pretty, fun, and from good families, and he will be very happy. I know I can rely on you to show him a wonderful time and will only introduce him to friends that you can trust. Anyway, maybe the king got wind of what was about to come out and acted with great foresight in dumping Andrew out of the royal family. By the way, finally, Scott, do you think this is going to finish Trump?
I don't think it finishes him, Pat, at this point, you know, whether we have until we have, you know, an absolute smoking gun that he was involved in criminal activities. Short of that, I think the fundamental issue that determines Trump's future is the economy. But with the economy not doing well, this is having a corrosive effect. So in other words, downfalls in politics usually don't occur suddenly within 24 hours, but over periods of weeks and months, yeah, he is going to be weakened.
Scott Lucas, professor and political analyst at the Clinton Institute at UCD. Thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.